UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are joining us from. I hope you're all well. I'm Nick Hunter and you're listening to the UFO Chronicles podcast. We have the pleasure of Mari this episode from California. Mari's experiences of abductions and UFO sightings go back to the early 1950s, some of which Mari will be sharing with us tonight. But first, big thank you to our newest supporters on Patreon, Matt, MB, Rax, Dwayne, and Rose. Thank you all, I really appreciate your help. Mari up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Mari, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Nick, for letting me share my experiences about other worldly things.
You are more than welcome. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
And you're calling from California in the United States.
Yes.
Now, Mari, you have some experiences to share with us going back to the early 1950s. Would you like to start at the very beginning, please, Mari?
Okay. So I think I'll sort of preface it with how the news lately has been flooded with UFO stories, military and pilot sightings and abductions. And it's just really lit my consciousness and awareness and put into perspective the experiences I've had. So I'm going to describe in things and beings that I had no knowledge of anyone else experiencing until all of these things came to light. And so this is, you know, a lot of retrospectively. And it's a lot to talk about. So I'll talk about my earliest experiences and the beings that I met. Now, I've never been contacted by gray beings. I wish I could say that I have, because everybody talks about gray. But some of mine are light beings. They're interdimensional. It's not easy to describe. When I was young, my mom taught me about multiple dimensions and techniques for that. And so, anyway, let's move ahead. And my story will start in the early 50s. My dad had been transferred to the Navy base in Norco, California. My dad was a Navy doctor, and he was in the Korean in World War II. And so we were now stationed at the Navy base in Norco, California. Norco, California, that base has quite a history. You can always Google it. U.S. Naval Base, Norco, California. Well, at the time, it was for injured soldiers. They called it shell shock back then. And they call it PTSD now. And my dad was a neurosurgeon. He was a psychiatrist as well. And we had built a house there. And so it was all country, very, very rural. And I just ran free. And since there weren't any other kids around my age, my cats were my best friends. Well, actually, they still are. But I would throw my cats in the Red Flyer wagon and haul them out into the wheat crops behind the house. And I remember seeing objects in the sky hovering over our house and flying really close to the ground. And I felt like they were watching me. So I'd run in, tell my mom, and she was nonplussed. She'd just casually say it was the flying saucers and not to worry. So I didn't go back out to my porch for the day and inform the cats that all was fine. And I really didn't think much about it. But I do remember one time I was playing and the ground was shaking. Now, mind you, we live on the San Andreas Fault. So those S waves we were used to them rolling through all the time. I mean, we would ride them out all the time in our beds. We'd go to bed on one side of the room. And you'd wake up rolling to the other side of the room. But one night, I had an experience that was different. I was awakened by my bed lifting. Now, I was three years old, and I'm holding onto the side of the, it wasn't a crib, it was like a playpen. But I'm being lifted up. I'm not rolling across the room. The bed isn't jumping up and down, which, of course, you know, when that happened, I'd be squealing in delight. But I woke up and my bed was floating and I was screaming for my sister. She was 10. And we shared the room, but she didn't wake up. And I have this memory of being in a blue room and then it's morning. But the memory is blazed into my brain, branded. It's a memory that's like a time marker. But I remember other times playing outside and having the experience that I was somewhere else. And then I'd be in the kitchen. But the experience has never really sat right with me. They've just always traveled with me in the depths of my memory. They're just those time markers, things that you really mark a place and time in your life. Now, I remember my mom, she always talked about the UFOs that would hover over our house in Norco. And she'd spoken about them many times. So this is when it must have happened to me. My brothers and sisters affirmed these sightings as well. And well, it means just last week, my oldest brother talked about the UFOs that he saw and how they would just hover over our house. They'd come and they'd go. And actually, you can go and you can Google Norco, California, 1954 UFOs, and all these articles come up, as there were so many sightings in the 50s, as we know now. But gave me validation when I did that. I was kind of blown away because there it was all in front of me. They were seen by military officials, local residences. There's pictures online. And actually, when I was 10, I took some pictures of saucers that I have. I took those pictures when, I'll just jump ahead to this. My mom and one of my brothers and I, we'd go out on road trips and she would get out a map and she'd point to the middle of freaking nowhere. And then she'd plop the coordinates and off we'd go in her Jeep, bouncing along to unknown areas in different states. I mean, I swear, she tried to kill us. My mom was a geologist. And a few times, my mom would point them out. So I took some pictures. She said, hey, take some pictures of that. So I took some pictures. And the pictures are, they're faint. They're black and white. I mean, I think it was like a brownie or something. And it's a triangle, and it has three lights. And then the triangle. I didn't think anything of it then. Just, I don't know, maybe it seemed normal. But she acted like it was no big deal. So I didn't think anything much about it. And I've never told anybody about these things. You know, it's really hard to talk about. You can't just talk about what's happened like this to anyone, you know. I was already the odd girl out growing up. So I wasn't going to start talking about flying saucers, spacemen, and dimensions. And you know, all these stories, I started hearing about all these other people's stories. And I mean, it's so strange. I mean, I can't really prove 100% that I was abducted. No, I can't. But I can only tell you that these experiences are just branded in my brain, very prominent experiences, life markers. could have been an earthquake had been an abduction when I was really young. It was the only way I could interpret it. I would always tell people about the first earthquake I felt, but now I really know that it was different. So moving on, we later from Norco, we moved to Pomona, California. And my dad set up his shrink shop there. I guess they used to call, do they still call psychiatrist shrink? Anyway, he went into private practice. And we lived in an avocado grove. We had horses in the back. And I always have a memory of something going on there. I would be in the hay barn, and my mom would call me, or I'd be out playing in the blackberry fields out by corral, and then I'd be in the hay barn. Down the driveway at the south end of the property, I'd have no idea how I got there. I just remember that I was back by the corral, or somewhere on the north end of the property, and boy, would I get scolded for disappearing. So it was very strange. I didn't have any friends then. I mean, we were sort of in the middle of nowhere again. So it was very strange memories. I would try to tell my mom about strange things that were happening, and she just always seemed like everything was fine. I remember I had a science kit, one of crystal radios. In the 50s, we used to get these science kits. Well, we used to get these science kits in the mail. I remember one of them had uranium in it. I don't think you could get those in the mail now, but anyway, I had a science kit. It was a crystal radio, and I told everyone I was talking to the spaceman. I was laying on the floor of the extra bedroom with the sunlight streaming in through the tall windows, was making long shadows of sparkling light. And I had it in my mind that the light just had to be so I could talk to the star people. Another incident during that time when we lived in Pomona, it was in an old Spanish adobe type house. I was about 5 and I was in bed, and I shared a room with my brother, closest to my age, and I was awakened. And there was a being at the foot of my bed, and he was a bluish green color. Now, I haven't really heard other people talk about these things, so I'm dying to know if other people have had experiences with other beings besides gray things. So anyway, I remember he had these ears, and they were little sort of soft-looking ears. His face, and I'm just assuming it seemed as though it was a he to me. It was just a really light sort of a blue, greenish color, and it was kind of flat, and it's hard to explain, but kind of like a cat, but the nose was flat and the ears were more to the side, and the eyes were big, but they were slightly slanted. And I remember that being information transmitted or informed to me not to be afraid. And it's hard to explain the comprehension and how that works, because it's sort of a vibrational, just a knowing at the subconscious level between you and the being. But then when I woke up, I was on the other side of the room. And it was funny because I was on the other side of the room, on the other side of my brother's bed against the wall. So I told my mom about this, and she said there was probably a big rat that had crawled under the door. And then she proceeded to tell me about how rats can push their bodies down to slide under doors. And I didn't really pursue the conversation because it was too strange. But so it was kind of a traumatic experience. This next experience, it's very traumatic. And it's not one that I've discussed, because it's one that I have to relive every night. And anyone else who's ever had an experience like this knows what I'm talking about. Okay, so I'm 12, and I'm spending the night at my best friend's house. And it was a rock house. It was made with granite stones, and she lived in the middle of nowhere in Orange Grove. And, I mean, we all lived in rural areas. I lived in an orange grove at this time, orange and lemon grove. And she lived in an orange grove with avocados. So we went to sleep in twin beds, and then I woke up. And there's these three beings around me, and they're picking me up, and I'm being carried or floated. And there's this white film, like curtains, but they're fluttering. And it's just this white, like fluttering. I don't know. But then I remember I'm being laid on a table, and I feel the color green. I wish someone could give me some answers on this, because I remember being on the table, but I remember green. I almost feel like it was the room was green, or they were green, but there's just a real prominent awareness of green. And my arms are, they're above my head, but it's more like a V. But I'm naked, and I'm 12 years old. So this was like a really bad dream. You know, when you go to school and you don't have clothes on, but this was real. And I can't open my eyes, but I can see them. And there's one, okay, there's one, okay, wait a second. There's one on the left side of my foot, and then there's one on the right. And then there's one on the left side, but he's kind of behind me. And he has this machine, and there's this noise. It's the sound of hand washing, or if you have a glass of soapy water in it when you're with dish soap and you're cleaning it, it's that kind of a noise, like really soapy water and you're washing your hands. Well, and it's like a pumping sound. It's like pumping, like taking something out and pumping it, moving. So, and I feel like I'm being touched. There's pressure, and there's this it's electrostimulation. You don't have any control, and I don't like it. And this is the worst part is that. So I'm feeling these jerking in different parts of my body, and I feel an orgasm, but it's not a sexual orgasm. It's like someone tickles your nose and you sneeze. There was nothing intimate about it. It was just very, okay, there's that, but I can't move. And the being at my right foot tells me to spread my legs further. And I feel like I'm being inspected, and I just don't understand. I mean, I'm a kid. My arms are spread out above my head. The one at my left foot is talking about using me, but I don't understand. He's talking to the other one. I don't know exactly what he's saying because I don't understand. But the one at the right foot tells me, he asks me if I'm a virgin. It wasn't those words, but that's what he was asking. And I'm nodding my head. I just remember. So I'm nodding my head. And so he tells the other one that we have to wait. And that one agrees. And I'm very confused. And a lot of this I didn't have more awareness of what the actual conversations were until I started hearing about other women's experiences more recently. So the room is cold. And then I feel myself falling and I'm in bed, but somebody's pressing down on me. I'm being pressed down on. And then it's morning. And I run into the closet and I'm crying. And I want my mommy. So she comes and she gets me. But this experience is relived every day, every day, every night when I go to sleep. And anyone else who's been assaulted and, like, you know, had an assault like this, they know what I'm talking about. Brandon, it's a moment in your life and it won't go away. So you live with it and your PTSD. You just learn to be objective. So actually, my mom used to put me in the closet when I felt out of touch. It's because closets are nice and dark and quiet, and I didn't actually stop going into the closet until I was about 55. So, nice refuge. Now, you know, I don't believe that these beings have malicious intent. It's because they don't have emotions like we do. And now that I've learned about other women's experiences, I'm glad to know that they've had experiences like this. I don't know. I guess you could say that we were breeders. I don't know how else to describe that and some of the other experiences try to talk to you about. You know, when I have an experience, before it starts, there's like a fluttering in my ear. It's on my left eardrum. It's kind of like, it's like there's a feather touching my eardrum or tickling it, but it doesn't tickle. And then, you know, there's really nothing you can do. You can't hide in the closet. I mean, some beings are benevolent, aren't benevolent. And I have a term for them. I call them flatliners. They just don't seem to have any variation in their demeanor. There's a mark that I'll get when I wake up on my left forearm, and it's three dots in a triangle. I mean, I haven't had any experiences in quite a while, maybe 5 years ago. And, you know, so I sometimes thought about, you know, hey, I'm just going to get a tattoo there, you know, save you some time, make it permanent, get it over with. Anyway, and I've had doctors ask me about you know, when they're marking me up to have a surgery, when it was that I had this other surgery, because there's a surgical scar there. And I have to tell them that, no, I actually haven't had any surgeries there. And they're saying, yes, you have. And I'm like, wait a minute. You know what? I live here. I know when I've had these surgeries. I probably should just say, yeah, I got that on that spaceship. But anyway, I also had once, when I woke up, I had a mark on my left palm. And I showed my mom, and she said that I must have stabbed myself with a pencil. But anyway, we took it out, and it looked like lead. And that's why she said that. So anyway, she said that, and I just shut up. I mean, what was I going to do? Try to tell her that I felt like somebody put it there? But I still have a mark there. It's a black mark in my hand. Okay, so let's move ahead. When I was 18, I just got married. And my husband and I used to go out to the desert, like much where I am now in the high desert. And we would go out sometimes to explore these old mines where they did mining, which is a really stupid thing to do, but we used to do that and camp. And so we were laying out on our sleeping bags and we were watching the stars when suddenly there was a round disc. And so it had lights. And, you know, these lights aren't really like, they're a radiance, they're luminescent. And anyway, there was a big light that came down like a spotlight, and it was super blinding. And then when we came to, we were in a different place, and I'd been placed close to a cactus, and I had cacti needles in my right leg. So that's something you don't really forget about. They're hard to get out. And we didn't know what had happened. We were so dazed. It was just completely out of contact with anything that we really knew. And I think we only talked about it once. I mean, it was like you start to talk about something and then you just go blank. But again, that was just branded into my brain. You know, these types of memories, they just park themselves up into a corner of your brain and they just don't go away. When I was 19, I started studying with Maharishi Yogi. You know, the Beatles studied with him, and it was with Transcendental Meditation. And in 1970, yeah. And I first studied with him in Humboldt, California, at the university there. It was sort of a crash course in becoming a teacher. And then I went ahead and followed him to Spain, and I took classes there with him. It was a smaller group of people, and he actually initiated me in the Transcendental Meditation. I was trained personally by him, and we used to sit at his feet all day, and he would teach us. It was amazing. It was very amazing. So one night, anyway, we're walking back down from a lecture, and we're walking down towards the beach where our apartment was. So it was right on the ocean. And this is in southern Spain, close to Huelva in Valencia. And I remember seeing this craft. It was a disc, and it was tilted. So the way that I was looking at it, and it had a radiance around it, as you say, red light. And it had a dome on top, and I could see beings inside. I want to say four beings, but I saw beings inside, and it was kind of terrifying. But the next thing I remember, I'm walking to my apartment door, and my friends are just kind of freaking out because, you know, they're asking me, where was I? Because I'd been gone for a while, a couple of hours. I didn't know. I couldn't understand it. But again, we've got a branded experience, another time marker in my life, validating that experience. But then while I was in Spain, right after that experience, I started having nightmares. At least that's what I thought. I wouldn't wake up, but I'd be trying to push something off of me. It was always pressing down on me. That's something that I always remember about the experiences I've had, is that it's like something that's always pressing down on you, and there's that sound. You know, you just feel like you can't move, and there's that sound. I hate that sound. Just don't wash your hands around me. But to this day, there was a smell and something cold. I can't explain it. I don't think there's a word in the English language to describe the feeling. It's one of those, I don't know how to describe it, incidents. But you know, when I was in Spain, I really couldn't sleep much. We used to meditate all day, and we were in silence for weeks. So I used to go out at night, and I'd sit on the sand and watch the lights bouncing around and glowing out over the water in the sky. And of course, now I watch, I've watched about the CE5 and, you know, contact of a fist kind. Well, that's what I was seeing then. I mean, they're always out there. I thought everybody could see them. I just didn't know. I didn't know what it was. But now all of these things are being made aware of. Now we have TV shows and movies. And I mean, my experience is here with the Maharishi. It's just parallel to what Dr. Greer was experiencing and around the same time. Because I know he studied with the Maharishi as well. Anyway, so strange.
The 40th Film Festival is a new celebration of cinema, created by people who have a passion for all things weird and paranormal. The current season is now open for submissions. Get involved if you're a filmmaker that has a penchant for poltergeists and adores aliens, or if you're a producer devoted to demonology with a soft spot for sci-fi. The deadline for submissions to this IMDb-approved festival is fast approaching. Go to www.fortianfilmfestival.com to submit your film or buy tickets, if you dare.
And, you know, now reading about all these other people's experiences and their experiences that I had, and I'm not alone. But, you know, I always hear people talking about the graves, but I've never experienced that. So I should go back to this. I'm 7, and I'm in my room, and I'm in bed, and I'm going to sleep, you know. Clean sheets, clean pajamas, and you're nestled in. And I had a record player, and I would put records on there to go to sleep, you know, the old record players with the arm with the needle that lifts up, and the next record flops down, you know, one by one, and then when the last one's finished, turns off. And so the last record it plays, you know, Bobby Darin, Johnny Mathis, Chopin. And then I get paralyzed. I'm just frozen, can't move. And I'm reading, and I'm mad. I'm really upset, you know, but I'm scared at the same time because it's my bed. But then I remember sheer curtains moving and there being something staring at me again, towering over me. And it's this palish green blue thing. And then I'm floating and then I'm awake. And it's morning, and I have a mark. I mean, seriously, I should have got tattooed a long time ago. So, and it's the three dots, and it's in a triangle. I have pictures of this from when I was 10, out in the field with my mom, when she would take us to the middle of nowhere. So let's move on here. Oh, okay. So I had an experience that was not that long ago, about 4 years ago. So I'm about 68. And I'm reading my favorite book and on my Nook reader, and I'm kind of dozing, and it's the dim light of the Nook reader. And I look up and they're standing not quite at the foot of my bed, maybe 5 feet away. And I've heard other people talking about this now. It's this big hooded being, black, and I see it as a male. It has red eyes. And I've heard so many people talking about this now. But anyway, it pissed me off. I was really upset, and I let out the most blood-curdling scream that I could have ever made. And I'm screaming, and I'm pissed off. You know, I'm thinking also, oh my God, I'm waking up my housemates. And then I scream out, what do you want? Go away. Leave me alone. And I was really upset about the whole thing. So I surprised myself. And so it did. It went back and it actually went into the closet. So I got up and I went just to check my housemaid if they were, and I peeked in and she was just snoring away. And I swear, I mean, I should have awakened the neighbors. And the next day I asked if anyone had heard anything and nobody had heard anything. So anyway, I told my best friend about it and she's indigenous from Alaska. And I hope I don't pronounce it. She's Pinklet. I think I always say that wrong. But at any rate, she helped me perform a ritual to ward off that type of spirit or whatever it was. And she gave me blessed water, salts, and some other things. And we did a ceremony. So that, I guess that took care of that. It didn't happen again. So I'm going to swing back now to some experiences that are sort of tag along with the, when I was 12 and I had the experience of being seen as a future breeding specimen. So at this time I was, this is early 80s. I'm a single mom. And I mean, this is really unbelievable stuff because I've heard this now coming from other women and it's hard to talk about these things. So I was a student at the University of California in Irvine, single mom, toddler, about 3, and I'm asleep, and I suddenly realize that I'm moving or gliding, and I'm coming through the back porch, and I'm above my bed, and what I'm going to tell you is something that I've just become aware of, these creatures. So there's two figures next to me. They're on the right. And there's a tall one, very tall, and there's a shorter one. It's a man and a woman. And they have long white hair, and they're light. They're almost glowing, but they have these robes on, but there's a belt. They have a belt, and it has a buckle on it, and it's kind of glowing. And they're very pale, not much expression. I know they're just cold. I don't like it, and they're just staring at me, and they're discussing me. And I don't know what it is they're discussing, but they're communicating and it seems to be okay. I don't know what it means. But then I'm awake and it's morning. And, you know, it's just, I never thought about these tall whites. And then, you know, I think maybe what it was 3 years ago, I start hearing about tall whites. I thought, oh my Lord, it was real, you know. Anyway, so I'm awake and then it's morning. But it was so real. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, when you have a dream and then you just carry it around all day and you're not really sure whether or not it happened. But I knew it happened. I mean, it was obtuse. But, you know, I could argue with myself sometimes out loud. But at any rate, not long after that, I felt like I was pregnant. And it was very confusing because I wasn't in a relationship. So it's super scary to find out that you're pregnant. And I wasn't a drinker, so I didn't walk out. I mean, I was a full-time mom going to university and working. So I was so shocked. But then there's just this part of me that just felt like unworldly thought to it. But I'd been kind of sick and crampy, and I was throwing up. So I went to the doctor, and they took a blood test. And guess what? I'm pregnant. But it was very early. So I arranged to have the pregnancy terminated. And so a few days later, I'm in the exam chair with my feet in the stirrups, ready to have an abortion. But the doctor looks at me, has the strangest look on his face. He tells me there's nothing there. So, okay, how does that happen? Anyway, I don't remember talking about it anymore. Just sort of happened. I went home. My mom took me home, and it just was so bizarre to first be pregnant and then not be pregnant and not had any real, you know, I mean, what was an immaculate conception? So, but I'm busy. I'm working 5 days. I'm in school 2 days. I'm a freelance makeup artist and working in theaters. I'm working for major cosmetic lines. I'm going to school. I mean, I was dragging my tail and I was really tired. But I'm in my living room. I'm on the sofa bed. And I hear a child calling me. So my son's with his dad on it's your weekend to have the kid, you know, visit. And I hear a voice. And there's this little boy running to me. And he's screaming, "Mommy, I want you to be my mommy. I want you to be my mommy." And I'm looking at this child. And I sit up and this child is beautiful. Beautiful child. Olive skin, dark, beautiful eyes. Hair my color, brown. Hair's almost to his shoulder. He's gorgeous. I mean, two. But he's screaming, "Mommy, mommy, I want you to be my mommy." And he's crying and I want to hold him. He's just so perfect. And I know that I'm his mother. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. That was my child. But the tall whites are there. They're just standing there. They're standing back, I don't know, into the dining area. I'm in the living area. And they call the boy back and they leave. I don't really remember how they left. They just sort of moved back out of the room. It's rather an abstruse moment. But interestingly, after that, I told a couple of my friends that, remember the baby I aborted? It visited me. Seriously, I told them that. I said, it visited me, the one, that baby. And it was so real because I knew that's what happened. I told them that the baby that I had gotten rid of had visited me. And then, you know, more recently, when I heard about alien race, total white, the thing that's so funny, Nick, is that I've been drawing pictures of tall whites since I can remember. I have drawings, tons of drawings here of tall whites. And as a child, you know, you gave me a piece of paper and I'd draw tall whites and castles. Because to me, the image that I have of them, it's like they're medieval because of the hair and then the way that they were dressed in that belt. Strangest things, you know, when you put it all together. So I had other pregnancies and fetal removals, but I almost died on one occurrence, but that's too much to go into, really sort of traumatic. But I do want to tell you an experience about a ball of light or ball lightning or whatever it was. I was visiting my parents, my stepdad and my mom, and I'm opening the front door to my parents' house, and right behind me, right over my shoulder, came into the room a ball of light, yellow, orange, glowing, sort of giving off little spindles of light. It kind of stopped, and we're talking milliseconds. Of course, when things like that happen, it's like your adrenaline kicks in and everything goes really slow. But it kind of stopped, and then boom, it took off right next to my stepdad out the back window. So maybe it traveled about 20 feet. It was like the size of a large grapefruit. So my stepdad and my mom were there with me, and I was carrying my three-year-old. Now, mind you, my stepfather was part of the original team of the Viking 1 mission to Mars. He developed a device for sampling soil, and I actually was in mission control at JPL in Pasadena in the room. It's above with a window above the controls where they're sitting, just like the movie. I actually have an original copy of the first images that came through the transmission, and it has all the signatures of the scientists working on that project. And my mom, she was a geologist. She worked at Jet Propulsion Lab in Pasadena, and she did infrared spectrometry. So we're talking about two people here who didn't visualize it. I mean, we all saw it together. I mean, they loved it. They were, you know, that was great for them, being two scientists. But it went right into the room and like a bat out of hell through the glass at the back of the room. I mean, it's a rare phenomenon to experience. It was just so strange. You don't believe your eyes, but you have to. They just saw it, and your brain is just all over it. So confusing. I guess they call it ball lightning, or was it something else? I don't know. I didn't smell any sulfur. I looked it up and to see if other people had experienced this. And apparently, there's no pictures or anything, but it is an experience other people have. You know, the boy that I was talking about, the little boy that ran to me, when my youngest son was born, he looked just like him. And as he grew, he was spitting image. It just, when he was born, I just went, oh my gosh, looks just like that child. Of course, I never told him that, but it's been very strange. And also that particular incident, it's just, you know, having him grow and look just like that baby. And he's smart and he's different and he carries a DNA form from an unknown ancient ancestor. Not Neanderthal and not, what is it, Devossian, but something else yet to be named. So I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I can remember to tell you about. One of the experiences I had when I became pregnant was, I became pregnant, then I wasn't. And I remember that I was bleeding. And I suppose you could say that I just lost it, like would be a normal occurrence, but it wasn't. It was just, you have that feeling that you know something else went on. But that was the time when I just about bled to death. And I can remember going to the hospital, blacked out because I went unconscious. But then when I woke up, the doctor, I could hear him talking to my mom about that I obviously had lots of problems like this, and that it was something to the effect of that I was having sex too much with different people, and so that's why I was having all these problems. It was so bizarre. My mom came in, she's like, I don't know what he's talking about, but he's saying that you're all messed up. So I just thought that was really funny. Anyway, that was a bad experience, and then I had the other experiences of having pregnancies, and then that all stopped. I was driving down from Portland to Southern California last year. I actually made that trip about four times last year, 1,000 miles. And I stopped at a truck stop and I look up and I see this boxer. It's round, but there's no lights or anything on it, markings at all. And it's hovering there. And where I was, it's close to a bay. So maybe that's why it's there. Maybe it was part of something there, a project. But at any rate, I'm watching it and I'm thinking, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. It's there. Look at it. So I jump out of my vehicle and I've got my phone and I'm pointing at it. And nobody is paying any attention to me. And I'm trying to make people look. And it's like you're in the outer limits and nobody's paying any attention to me. It was very strange. So I went to take a picture and boom, took off. Of course, missed my opportunity. So that was a strange experience. And then just about a month ago, I was driving down the hill from where I am in the high desert, down the 15. And I took pictures. I was taking lots of pictures because there was snow in the mountains. It was really beautiful. And then when we developed the pictures, or not developed, what am I saying? When we were going back through them, my son said, hey, what's that? And I looked. I actually uploaded this to MUFON. But there was a triangle shape, very distinct. It's very distinct, sharp. And it's kind of blended into the clouds, pointed into the clouds. But it's a triangle. And it was so strange. I actually uploaded that picture. But I do have the pictures of when I was like 10 that I took. I think really, I think that's really all I can tell you about. There's other things, but that's it for right now that I can really talk about, Nick.
Good job. You weren't a bit nervous.
Oh, good.
How did you feel? Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty much lifelong, isn't it, these experiences?
Yeah, it is. Not recently that I know of, but you don't know.
Yeah, usually what happens with long-term experiences, they reach a certain time in their life and things kind of just fizzle out to a degree.
Yeah, I'd have to say that's the way it is, because I haven't had anything. But the visuals, I mean, I see the lights and, I'm seeing things in the sky. But it kind of reaches a point where it's like, okay, I don't get very excited anymore about things like that. But now you hear everyone talking about it. And it's, for me, it's really great because I've had these experiences and now I can talk about it, or it can be validated. So it's good.
Yeah, it is good. You know, people which wouldn't have really come forward with their accounts, you know, they now feel a little bit more comfortable. Things are starting to be taken a little bit more seriously. You know, it's still a long road to go, but it is the beginning. Because, you know, there's people which have these experiences all over the world that have, like yourself, you know, you've experienced this for decades.
And there's other things here that I'm just not talking about, especially the things that are interdimensional, because you can't really explain that. It's when you, for me, it's, I was just there. That's exactly what, I was just there. That's what I was saying. Because you're in the same place, but everything's different. I mean, everybody's there. It's the same, but it's different. And then I'll be in this place. Oh, okay. I was just there. I don't know how to describe that to people. Hopefully other people are having that experience, because my mom had that experience and then she shared that with me. But it's like you're slipping in between spots, all I can say.
Yeah, I've come across a few people which have talked about very similar things. You mentioned your mother. Cool. Has she ever mentioned any other experiences she's had?
No, she didn't really talk about it that much because, it's hard to talk about. It wasn't something that you would just, to me, no. But she just always acted like it was normal. She talked about the things that we saw when I was little. She always felt that it was a normal thing. And we used to see things. We used to go out camping all the time. And she would point things out. We would do that. We would sit there and watch the stars and look for things. And she was a scientist, and she would always she worked on space projects. But she would point things out. And so it was more of kind of just normal for her, I think.
And later on, you never really told her about any of the stuff which happened past 12 years old?
Mm-mm, no. No, she passed 2018, but I think I might have mentioned it to her, but she had dementia the last part of her life.
Right. Do you think it's possible that there is some kind of connection between what your experience and the projects they were working on?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, they worked on space projects, you know, they both did. You can look them up. I'm not giving their names, but we're part of the original team of scientists on the Viking 1 mission to Mars.
There must be some great stories of that, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it was really good. You know, being in the mission control, watching the first images of Mars coming through, everybody was cheering. Like, yeah, it was this incredible moment. And now I have this picture. It's a picture of that first image that came through. It's large. And they've all signed it. All the scientists that were there that were working on it. I mean, that's a collector's item. I gave it to my son, who looks like the child that came from, you know, the Pearl Waves. I gave it to him. I figured he should have it. With the belt buckle, there was a belt buckle that they all got. And he's got that, the Viking 1 mission to Mars. It's a cool belt buckle, and he's got some stickers and stuff. I thought it was most appropriate for him to have it.
Right. Treasure that. Wonderful.
Yeah. He's my star child.
So, you know, there's a good possibility that there were others. You know, if you've been having some issues down there, there is a good chance that it's something that has happened many times over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And I also think that, you know, it's something I hear quite a lot. When a child is lost, okay, they are often brought back. And it seems that it's very important to make that connection. As you did.
Oh gosh, yeah. That was mine. That was my child. That was my baby. But he was just crying. Mommy, I want you to be my mommy. I want you to need his arms out. Oh my God. But then I guess I had him or something. But we know what's interesting is that with these experiences, I said to friends, it's that baby is coming to visit me. And it never really made sense because we're talking about a time period that was probably only 5 months. So I don't know how that happened, but I guess timelines aren't the same in the other beings as they are for us. But that's what I told people. It was the child. That was the child. You know, it was just all that sense of knowing. And the pictures I've been drawing since a child of this whole life. And I never figured out what it was until recently. I can't remember his name. You know, the man that was in the military. That people have discredited, and then he's got the book and he travels around and talks to the white. It's like, yeah, that happened to me.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of high strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange. Do you think that the tall whites were present when you were 12 years old?
Yeah, because they were tall and they had the same kind of demeanor where, I call them flatliners because they just don't seem to have emotions. They're just going through the motions, but it wasn't as though they weren't trying to hurt me. I never felt like that. I've never felt that I was trying, that anything was trying to hurt me. Now, did I feel hurt? Yeah. Did I feel violated? Of course. But were they trying to do that? No. So, but I really feel that because they were always tall. And there was always sort of, maybe that's why, I was like, well, maybe that's why I was the blue thing so prevalent. That bluish sort of a greenish color radiating. I just always felt that.
So these beings have basically been with you pretty much your whole life?
Yeah. I've got pictures right here. I pull them out and look at them. But I always equated them with castles because they just had that sort of image with the hair and with that belt. It's so bizarre, too, to, Google tall white UFO and see these pictures come up. Oh, my God, that's it right there. That's the picture. Oh, my God, that's the belt. Oh, no, that's what they look like. Except mine weren't all beautiful or Nordic, or they were just more nondescript, I suppose you could say. I mean, they were, I never really thought about beautiful. They were just very elegant and not really talking to me sort of as a third party. I'm talking about me, hello, I'm right here. You're talking about me, I can hear you, that kind of a thing.
You never felt any fear or any other emotions?
No, because it's beyond comprehension. It's so obtuse that it's fear that you can't feel because you're being told, of course, on the subconscious level, that it's okay. So you start to have that feeling. I don't know if you've ever had surgery, they give you this medicine. I call it the I don't care medicine. Right before you have surgery, it's like, oh, I don't care. You start to feel some fear, but then that kicks in and it's, oh, I don't care. So everything sort of mellows out. But it's not that I wasn't disturbed or I didn't like it. I just didn't respond to it in a way that was terror stricken. The terror stricken was that the black hooded image, the man that I saw, that was terror. But then I got really pissed off because I'm so over it. I'm so over you beings coming around me. But no, to answer your question.
Just kind of numb to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're just kind of numb to it. And, you hear people talking about how I can't move. They say, I can't move. There is a fear that's so great that you can't move. And I felt that. I felt that in particular incident. When I was about 7, I remember feeling, but I always used to get mad too. Come on, leave me alone. But I remember that feeling because you're just out of control and there's something there and it's looking at you. You can't move and there's nothing you can do. For me, it's just like, okay, there's nothing I can do. You don't have any control. And there's that sound. It's with the, a feather, like a feather in the eardrum. But it's kind of like that, I suppose. I can't really explain.
And before your experiences, you'd always have the same feeling in your ear?
Quite often, yeah. I can't remember back really far back, but yeah, otherwise, quite often, yeah. And that's when, oh gosh, you know, got it. But the closet thing, oh my gosh, closets, I mean, really until just maybe 15 years ago, and I'm 70, I would go into closets. It was like the refuge, I had to get away. Closet is safe, it's dark, you can sit in there, take in a blanket. I know that sounds really silly, but it was just that reference. It was a refuge to go away and get into, so maybe, you know, you'd be safe. Sounds strange, I know.
It was your safe space.
Yeah, it was. I don't go there anymore, but there's times when I look at the closet with a yearning, but I don't do it anymore.
Just want to curl up and hide in the closet.
Yeah, you should try it. It's really good.
Ours is full of stuff.
Oh, gosh. Well, that might be more fun. You can feel around and name what they are.
You haven't really told anyone about these experiences before. What advice would you have to people which have experienced this for many, many years and, like yourself, have never told anyone?
You're not alone. It's okay. But you still don't want to talk about it all the time. Like, this is sort of the safe zone because I don't see anybody, but I know they're out there. There's groups. I know MUFON has groups of people who've had that experience. So I know that those, they're out there. So you could contact MUFON and hook up with somebody. And I mean, I did that. Somebody called me and we talked, and they hadn't been abducted, but they knew all about it. So that was nice. To talk to somebody. I mean, I can't even talk to my family really because they don't get it. I mean, how do you explain it? So I would say you're not alone. Call MUFON, get into a group. There's other people out there. You can share with them. But otherwise, I'd say don't talk about it. I mean, it's not a bragging point for me. I'm not bragging. You know, you hear people like, oh, wow, this happened. I'm not going to brag about it. It's not like that.
Wonderful. Wonderful. You're absolutely right. Yeah, there are many people out there who've experienced the same things. And some people are comfortable with getting into groups and meeting people and connected with other experiences. Others, not so much. You know, you just want to kind of deal with it themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the good thing about coming on this show is, you know, it's you're being listened to by predominantly like-minded people.
Yeah, really good.
Some of that experience is very similar. Others, you know, just want to kind of learn and hear the stories from others.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but that's what it's all about.
Yeah, it's good. Good job, Nick.
Good job, Nick. Thank
you. There you go. Yeah, you're welcome.
I get heaps of emails from people saying the same thing, you know, so it's, I'm always stoked about that.
That's good.
That's wonderful, Mari.
All right. Thank you.
Good job. Okay. Mari, I really appreciate you coming on, sharing that for our listeners.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Mari.
Thank you. All right. Bye.
Been wonderful talking to you.
You too. Thanks.
Okay. Bye, ma'am. That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Mari for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.